Well, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Can you hear me on the balcony? Can you hear me at the back down here? Wonderful. Well, it's lovely to see you all. Welcome to Park Street Church Carol Service in the Town Hall, a different venue to where we normally meet. We wanted to fit in as many people as possible. And we're grateful for this opportunity, and we're so pleased to see you, so pleased to see everybody. My name's Paul, I'm the minister at Park Street Church, and a warm welcome to you all. A few notices before we start. Hopefully as you came in, everybody was given a copy of the carol sheet, saying Christmas carols, and the date, and the time. And on the inside, you've got all the carols that we're going to be singing this afternoon and the Bible readings that are going to be read. And on the inside cover, you've got some information about Park Street Church, some of our regular activities, our Christmas Day service coming up, our special Christmas Day service on Friday, but our regular Sunday meetings, 10:30, 4:30, 6:30 in the evening, and also some of the regular events that we have on at Park Street Church. When we start in a moment or two, I'm going to say a prayer. Please remain seated for the Bible readings as people come up and do those readings. And please stand for the carols. And after we start, they'll be all unannounced. If for any reason you don't have a carol sheet and they've all gone, I think we did do over 300. I can see a few more left. Then you can get one as you leave. If you haven't got one for now, share with the person next to you, if they're friendly. And they will be, I'm sure. I'm sure they'll be very willing to share. Well, at the heart of Christmas is good news of great joy for everybody. And that's why on our carol service invitations this year and on our service sheet, we've put those words, good news of great joy for everyone. And it's our prayer that each and every one of us here will hear that good news of great joy as the Bible readings are read, and as we sing these wonderful carols, these very familiar carols. Good news of great joy for everyone. Let me lead us in a prayer as we start. Lord God, our Father, we thank you so much that we can meet together this afternoon. And we pray that you would graciously open our ears to hear once again the good news of great joy for all people. And that you would open our eyes to see the Saviour who has been given to us. And you'd open our hearts to receive him and the peace with you that he brings. And we ask this in his name, Jesus' name. Amen. Our first Bible reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thank you.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Our third reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
John chapter 1,
verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like wishing people a happy Christmas. It's not easy to wish someone a happy Christmas when you know it's going to be a lonely Christmas. It's not easy to wish someone a happy Christmas when you know it's going to be a sad Christmas, because they're grieving over the death of a loved one. Think of an acquaintance of mine whose funeral it is tomorrow. This time last year he was diagnosed with a brain tumour. He's 26 years old. He died just over a week ago. And it's his funeral service tomorrow. He leaves a young wife and a young baby. It's not easy to wish someone a happy Christmas when you know that they're mourning the one that they can't share it with. It's not easy to wish someone a happy Christmas when you know it's going to be a painful Christmas because they're sick. Or it's going to be an anxious Christmas because they've lost their job or are about to lose their job, or because they're in severe debt. Then there are those people who are nursing the wounds of a broken relationship. They can feel like they're surrounded by hundreds of happy families when their family is far from happy and their Christmas is painful. It's not easy to wish someone in that situation a happy Christmas. And there are those who find themselves this Christmas out of their home, or with a damaged home, because of the floods that we experienced 2 weeks ago. Saying Happy Christmas to those people isn't easy, and here in Kendal, we'll all know people who've been affected by that. We ourselves here, some of us will have been affected by the floods. Now, for many, Christmas is a very happy time. Some of us love getting together with our family, with our friends, celebrating Christmas time. But even then, we're aware, aren't we, that the world is far from a happy place. We can't forget, can we, the slaughter that took place in Paris just over a month ago. We can't begin to imagine what Christmas is going to be like for the victims' families. We can't begin to imagine what Christmas is going to be like for the thousands and thousands of homeless refugees fleeing the awful conflict in Syria. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. They seem very much absent at this point in history, don't they? When we're honest about the world, when we're honest about what the world is like, it's not that easy, I don't think, for any of us to wish anybody a happy Christmas. How can we overcome this dilemma? I mean, we want people to be happy, of course. And when life is this messy, when life is painful and sad, we feel as if we need a happy Christmas. Some relief from the darkness. Some rest from the sadness. How do we find that relief? How is it possible for us to find happiness at Christmas again? Well, we could do what lots of people do, and just try and put the darkness and the sadness out of our minds. We can wish people happy Christmas through denial. Just pretend that all the mess doesn't exist at all. Or we can convince ourselves that, yeah, it's messy, but it's not as bad as it seems. And it's okay because, well, it's highly unlikely that a Paris-like attack is going to happen here in Kendal. And thankfully, we don't live in Syria. Or we manage to convince ourselves that our broken relationships are really only a doorway to new beginnings, and our loneliness and our unhappiness is going to be short-lived. Or we can convince ourselves that the people that we grieve over, that we mourn, wouldn't want us to be sad, and so we should just get on with it and celebrate. Maybe if we pull all that off, maybe then we'll be able to wish people a happy Christmas and mean it. Or another possible approach would be distraction. We can eat and we can drink and we can watch telly with such determination and such vigour that we do manage to distract ourselves. We can drink to forget. We can eat to forget. We can entertain ourselves to forget. Maybe then we could wish people a happy Christmas. Or perhaps there is another approach, a better approach. And the readings that we've had this afternoon and the carols that have echoed the message of those readings tells us that God does have a better way. He has a better suggestion for us. A more honest way, I think. The wonderful thing about the Bible is very, very real. Real about the world in which we live and our experiences in this world. But it also offers real hope. In our first reading from Isaiah 9, this is what we read. Listen to these words again. There will be no more gloom. No more gloom for those who are in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those walking in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you, that's God, have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. You see what God is promising through the prophet Isaiah. He is promising a day when sadness and distress will be overcome by joy and peace. A day when death and darkness will be overcome by life and light. A day when the enemies of God's people will be defeated and the power of the oppressor overcome. And how will this happen? When will this take place? Well, listen to the answer. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase or of the greatness of his government, there will be no end. This is how it's going to happen. The Bible says a child will be born, a son. And that son will be God's ruler, God's appointed ruler. Indeed, that son will be Almighty God himself. And he will have the government of the world on his shoulders. And he will bring peace. And he will reign forever and ever. And he will establish perfect justice. The Lord Almighty is zealous for this. He will accomplish this. God wants peace more than we want peace. God wants justice more than we want justice. And he's going to deal with evil. He has an answer to it. That's the good news that Isaiah declares. And the child promised, of course, is Jesus. And Jesus has come. And we might ask, well, what good has he done then? Where's the peace? Where's the justice? Doesn't really seem to be present. And the answer that the Bible gives is, at the moment, we don't enjoy all the benefits of Jesus' rule. A day is coming when perfect justice will be done. A day is coming when perfect peace will reign. A day when there'll be no more massacres. A day when there'll be no more wars. There won't be any more refugees. There won't be any more bloodshed. A day of no more floods and homelessness. No more crying. No more pain. No more sickness. No more death. That day is coming. It hasn't arrived yet. But it will, and we know it will. And the reason we know it will is because of what Jesus did that first Easter. He died, and he rose again. And when he did that, he struck the fatal blow against evil, and against wickedness, and darkness. He secured the victory over injustice and pain. And one day, he will return. That's the promise that is repeated more than any other promise in the Bible. Jesus will come back. And he will bring the full benefits of the victory that he won when he died and rose again. Evil will be destroyed. Death will be destroyed. That sounds good, doesn't it? What a world that will be. But we might ask, well, why the delay? Why is he waiting? We want that world now. And the answer that the Bible gives to that question is, the reason he delays is because God wants people to be there with him in that perfect world to enjoy it. The trouble is, we're not fit for that place. The reason why the world is messed up and is sad is because of people. It's because of humanity, of human beings. It's because of the way that we've treated God from the start, from the very start. We've rejected him. We've refused his rule, his good and loving rule. We've loved the darkness of doing what we want instead of the light of doing what he wants. We've sinned. And our sin stops us knowing God. And our sin keeps us out of his perfect place. And the good news that we've been reading about and singing about this afternoon is that Jesus came to deal with that problem. Jesus came to repair the broken relationship between human beings and a holy God. That relationship that's been broken because of our rebellion against God. He came to repair it. Listen to what the angel told Joseph. Call the child Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Listen to what another angel told some shepherds. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And what that whole group of angels sang in the presence of the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom God's favour rests. The baby, Jesus, was born to bring peace. To bring peace where we really need it, with God. He came to take away our sin. He came to bring us back to God. And it cost him a lot to make that possible. His mission took him to the cross. And on the cross, he was punished for our sin. He died in our place and was punished so that we don't have to be punished. Jesus came not only to make this perfect future world a reality, he came to make sure that there's going to be people there to enjoy it. He came to fit us for heaven. He came to give us what we need to meet him when he comes back as judge on that day of justice. He came to give us what we need to enter heaven and to stay out of hell forever. He came to give us forgiveness of our sins. He came to give us a right relationship with God. He didn't come so that we could have a happy 25th of December every year. He came for something much bigger and better than that. He came to bring us a happy forever. And he wants you and me to have a happy forever. And that's why he patiently delays the day of justice. To give us time to respond to him rightly. In his great love, he is calling us to trust him, to believe on him, to receive him, to turn from living our own way, to acknowledge him, to submit to him, and to trust what he's done for us. And he's been doing that this afternoon, as we've had those Bible readings and as we've sung the carols. He's been calling us to receive him. And to all who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God, heirs of this new creation, this perfect new world. Christmas is all about getting. And I'll say that again because some of us have been misled into thinking it's all about giving. Christmas is all about getting. Now, I know we've heard that Christmas is all about giving, and in one sense that's right, but in another sense it's completely wrong. For us, Christmas is all about getting, receiving. We give gifts at Christmas to remind ourselves of the gift that God gave us. And what the first Christmas teaches us is that it is God's place to give, and it is our place to receive. Christmas, for us, is receiving God's gift of his Son. The child who was promised, the child who came and who defeated sin and evil and who will reign forever and ever. Have you received him? Have you believed in his name? I hope you have. If you haven't placed your trust in Jesus, you can. Because this gift is for everyone. Good news for everyone. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter how bad you may think you are, no one is bad enough. This is a gift for everybody. God wants you to enjoy this perfect forever world with him. That's why Christmas happened. And if you do receive him, you'll know happiness. You'll know happiness today, and you'll know happiness forever. And the Bible calls this happiness joy. Joy is a deep emotion. It can exist alongside sadness. It can coexist with grief. It's grounded in the recognition that though there is great pain and sadness in this world, although there's difficulty and trouble in our lives, there is something that transcends all that and fills the human heart with a happiness that cannot be stolen. The happiness of knowing that our sins are forgiven. The happiness that comes from knowing that God, the creator of the world, loves me. The happiness of knowing that evil has been defeated and one day will be no more. The happiness of knowing that one day death will be no more. The happiness of knowing that one day peace will be forever. And that happiness comes from receiving God's gift. His good news and great joy for all people. It comes from receiving his Son, Jesus, our Saviour and our only hope. And that's why I'll be happy this Christmas. In spite of my sadnesses, in spite of my pains, in spite of the difficulties and the troubles facing me at this current time, in spite of the real mess that the world is in, I'll be joyful. I'll be joyful because of the gift of God. The gift of God that is greater than every evil. Because of the light. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness will not overcome it. The light will win. The light has won. Jesus has won. Jesus will win. And if you receive Christ, then that will be your joy as well. We don't need to stick our head in the sand in denial. And we don't have to distract ourselves with eating and drinking too much or watching telly for hour upon hour upon hour. We can honestly face up to the river of pain that does flow through this world and still know joy. Joy because of the vast, vast ocean of God's love in his gift to us of Jesus. Joy that comes from receiving Jesus. Joy that comes from knowing that the pain and the sadness and the hurt is temporary. And the justice and the peace and the happiness and the joy is forever. When you know that joy that comes from receiving Jesus, it is possible to honestly and meaningfully wish people a happy Christmas. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Happy Christmas, everybody. Happy Christmas. Let's stand and sing the good news that those angels brought the shepherds. Good news, our Saviour has been born to us. Our final carol this afternoon is Hark, Herald Angels Sing. Just give the musicians time to get in place.
As we stand, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. May the wisdom of the wonderful counselor guide us. May the strength of the mighty God protect us. May the love of the everlasting Father enfold us. And may the peace of the Prince of Peace comfort us and bring us peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Please do have a seat. I'm going to just explain something about the refreshments. We have lots of refreshments, mince pies. You see some tangerines there. There's coffee, there's tea, there's squash. That's served at the table at the back and also in the Georgian room, which is the room across the corridor there. So please do stay. Please do enjoy the refreshments. Also, if you want to know more about this good news that we've been sharing, come along to Park Street Church. That's the good news that we speak about every single week. But we do have a special course that we run regularly called Christianity Explored, saying from the Bible why Jesus came, who he is, what it means to follow him. We've got a new course starting in January on the 11th. If that's something you're interested in, then please fill in the tear-off form on your service sheet and put a tick in there, put your name on, your contact details. And by the welcome desk, there is a red box, I think. So place it in there and someone will contact you. Also, as you leave, there'll be people giving out little booklets which explain a bit more about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do take one of those. And we've also got these books, Christmas Uncut, a bit more of a lengthy book than the little leaflets we're giving. But these are free as well. And I think there's about 30 copies on the desk is by the door there. If you'd like to take one, you're more than welcome. They're absolutely free. Do take one as you leave. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon. And please do make the most of those mince pies. I don't want to be eating them for the next 6 weeks, so please do have a mince pie before you go.